How about opening your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Acts and chapter 13. The Acts of the Apostles, sickly, in chapter number 13. We continue in our study, week by week study of Bible doctrine that we mapped out. This is actually, I think, Brother Wally, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know he keeps up with it, week 45 of the 52. So we are approaching an end. We're in a landing pattern. We are approaching the end of that. And I'm going to go ahead and say, if there's something, if I have this in my head right, probably finish this up somewhere around the end of February, give or take. If there's something that you would like to learn more about, if there's something that you have questions about, something in the Bible that maybe you'd like to hear a lesson about, how about write that down for me? I'm not making any promises, but I will look at it and pray about it, and if the Lord gives me some leadership, I'll try to teach on it. And then I'll try to take advantage of this 6 o'clock hour. But I'm also going to get some other men to do some filling in this coming year during this 6 o'clock time. As a matter of fact, I had one, Brother Ryan, I had asked him about taking a short lesson this evening, and he was supposed to, but he fell sick. So anyway, but we will, for something you're interested in, you can hand me the note, you can put it in the plate when it comes around, and these folks will make sure I get it. But just think about it and pray about it, and if there is something that you're interested in learning more about, we'll try to do that, okay? All right. This week we consider Baptist and mission work. Missionary endeavors, Baptist way of mission work. Acts chapter 13, I don't know any better place to try to launch from when talking about mission work than the book of Acts, which gives us really the origin of modern-day missionary endeavors. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." You can go on in your reading and pray with me. Just as a side note, I'm trying to gather together somewhat of a sermon calendar for the upcoming year, and it's a work in progress, but I'm thinking about teaching through the book of Acts. In maybe on Sunday nights or something on Wednesday nights. But anyway, this is one of the first official accounts of a missionary journey. And it's always important to look at something as it happens originally to see how it was done, because that's normally the biblical pattern for it. In this, I noticed a few things that take place. These in verse 2, these in this local church were ministering to the Lord, and that they were ministering about the things of the Lord. They were busy in preaching and evangelizing. They were busy in taking care of the needs of the local church. Along with that, they were fasting, they were praying, and they were seeking God's direction. These are the things that, when we talk about mission work, these are some of the absolute first basic principles that must be followed. They were asking God, this first church, "Lord, what do you want us to do? Lead us, direct us. How would you have us to go?" And the Lord responded to them and said, "There is a need, and here's who I want you to send to meet that need. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And then as the Lord impressed this upon them, they again prayed, fasted, laid hands on, and I believe that we read that these men, that they ordained these men, and then they gave them a commission. Go here and do this. They sent them away. This should be the biblical pattern for mission work. And I want to talk to you this evening about local mission work, and I want to talk to you about global mission work. And I want to talk to you about our involvement individually, our involvement corporately as a church, our involvement in our community, and our involvement in this nation, and our involvement in this world when it comes to the matters of mission work. And any way that you go about it, there should be a measure of prayer and seeking God's direction for a specific need. Amen. There should be some fasting. That's something that I think God's children as a whole today, and that's probably something I will teach on it at one point, that the fasting is something that I think is a lost art among Christians today.
Amen.
And there needs to be some serious seeking for God's direction in how and where to go and when and why. We each one have a responsibility. And I've already taught, it's been several weeks ago now, but I've already taught on the Great Commission and our responsibility to meet the needs of the Great Commission. And then I think you could all or should all agree with me that we each have a responsibility to carry out that commission, both individually and as a church. We have a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teach, baptize. These are, you know, as God saves, we baptize and then we teach them the all things. This is our calling. And so I don't want to tread back over that same ground, so I want to go at it a little bit different way. That we call ourselves a missionary Baptist church. We are a sovereign grace, missionary, independent Baptist church. And as such, we ought to be in the business of missions and doing missions and being involved in missions, local, national, global missions. As we are afforded that privilege, we should, and I believe that we are. And I'm just going to say that in case I forget to say it a little bit later on. We are called upon to evangelize in Jerusalem, and then not only to Jerusalem, to go to Judea, to Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the earth. And I think if you want to get technical about it, that's the order in which it should be done. Home, taken care of. And in a case such as this, I think what is being taught through that is that the local pastor has his needs met, and then as that is taken care of, then the local church branches out bigger than that. I'll make some good friends this evening. I usually do when we teach some of these things, but that's okay. Locally, there are countless missionary opportunities around us.
Amen.
If you are interested in being used by God, pray, fast, and ask God for the Spirit to direct you and guide you. There are countless missionary opportunities around us. There's a book that I read, and I speak to my own heart here, okay? But there's a book that I read, and I think LaDonna actually has it now, a book called Radical, written by a man named David Platt, who said, I want to take a radical approach at modern Christianity. And it was so radical, this was his approach at the end of the book. If we could get everybody who calls himself a Christian to read their Bible, to witness, and to do some volunteer work, that would be radical, would it not, to modern Christianity?
Amen.
I mean, that's probably, it is a shame, not probably, but it is a shame. But that is a radical approach to modern Christianity. There are countless ways that you and I can involve ourselves in this community. And I'm not here to beat you up because you do that. When you come in here, and I taught last week on giving, when you come in here and bring your tithes and your offerings, you are reaching out locally. You are reaching out in this community, and you are reaching out nationally and globally. You're doing that. I don't want you to think, well, you preacher, you're saying we're not doing anything. No, I'm not. But I want to encourage each of us to realize that there's always more that can be done. And that goes for me as well. Anybody who wants to, there are opportunities to volunteer. I've done a little bit of bouncing back and forth on this, and in fact, I've done a little bit of debate with some Christian preacher friends of mine, some pastor friends. Not that they say it's wrong, but their observation, as any good Muslim, any good Jehovah's Witness, any good of this, could do volunteer work. Well, should we be outshined by them? Should we as Christians say, well, let them have at it, or should we not also be that good Samaritan and go the second mile and love those who are hurting and distressed? There is volunteer opportunities around us. PVO, I know some of you do things individually. Volunteer, give to the PVO. We do this as a church. We help support Perry Volunteer Outreach down here. It's a good work. I'm happy and thankful to be a part of that work. I know a little bit about what goes on there, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Abba House, there is going out here to these nursing homes. These are missionary outreaches that we are involved in. Amen. Financially giving, prayerfully supporting, these are things that each of us can do to involve ourselves in mission work in this local community. Involving yourself in the workplace, being a witness in the workplace, standing and taking a bold stand for righteousness, even when it's uncomfortable. This is ways in which we can serve our local community. There is local TV and radio. I don't know that the Lord will ever allow us to, but I think it ought to be a matter of prayer. The Lord would allow us to get something on the radio sometime, get a television program maybe at one point. These are all things that I just think about and pray about. I don't know any reason why we shouldn't at least have some goals. I think we ought to, as a church family, get some goals and work towards those goals together. Whether it's the TV, whether it's radio, whether it is getting involved in the local paper and writing, going down here to the Houston County Prison, door-to-door visitation, these are things that we can and should be involved in. And I'm talking to myself as well. I know that. There needs to be a balanced approach, a prayerful, Spirit-sought, Holy Spirit-led sought desire mingled with fasting and a submissive spirit to find and fulfill the mission works that we can do here as a church. Amen. Acts chapter number 5 verse 42 just says this, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Isn't that a great thing? In the temple, house to house, in the community, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Individually and as a church. I'm not saying we don't do. I'm saying let's seek and pray about doing more and more and more. We should strive. And I don't have to get moving here. We should strive to reach out to our young people. I'm awfully hesitant to say anything like this because I don't want to be misunderstood. The core of this church is an older group. Just look around you. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not putting anybody down. But the core of this church is an older group. And I plan on being here a long time. And I'd like for somebody to be around to pay me 15 or 20 years from now. You understand? I'm making a jest of that. But you do understand that it's about more than that. It's about us reaching into the lives of this community and bringing younger people in. These young people are the future of our local churches. Amen. And investing in the youth and having a balanced approach at what's good for them emotionally and spiritually and visiting them in good things. All of our churches, I say all, but most of our churches, a great deal of our churches are just getting older and smaller. And I think some of it has to do with, you know, we want to blame end time theology, and maybe that has a role in it, but I think a lot of it is our churches are just not involved in local missionary work. They're not involved in their communities like they should. They're not out trying to win souls. They're not out trying to bring people into the house of God. If you don't grow, you'll eventually just fade away. It's just going to happen. And so I mean no disrespect by that, but for the future of the church, we need to reach out. And reach out to the older, reach out to the younger, have a vision, have some goals, be involved in reaching those goals together. I'd like to see, I know sometimes maybe I'm up in the air, but I'd like to see this church again be involved in organizing other churches.
Amen.
That should be, in my opinion, it should be the natural course for a church to, and let me use this language, and don't take it too far, but the natural course of events for a church to give birth, to propagate herself in organizing other churches.
Amen.
That should be natural. When's the last time anybody, and I'm not being smart, when's the last time any of us thought about that? When's the last time we as a church or as an individual here said, you know what, I'd like to see this church organize another church, get another church going, get another church started? That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. The Bible teaches us all the way from the book of Genesis that like begets like. Like begets like. That's true in the human race. It's true in the animal kingdom. It's true in the plant world. And it's true in the church, in the spiritual. Like begets like. Local sound churches should beget, should give birth to, should organize other local churches. What about having a mission work under the authority of this church? This is, I'm not saying this is anything to do tomorrow or even in 2015. But I am saying we ought to have some goals in mind, some vision, some hope that God's going to use us and grow us and involve us in the community. It'd be great that we have to tear down our barn and build greater because we can't hold everybody. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know that it'll happen, but I don't know that it won't either. But I'd like to see his pews full. When I go put 50 or 60 hours into a sermon, I like for folk to show up and hear it. I do. I'd rather preach to a person in the pew anytime. But it involves this. God's Word gives some promises. If we'll go, He'll bless. And we got to go. We got to go. We got to be involved. And I'm speaking to me. I'm speaking to you. We need to be involved in local things. And I'm just touching on some things. There's much more that can be done. We involve ourselves. Sermon audio is a great, great tool. A lady called me this afternoon. I was laying there trying to take a nap. And my phone rang. And she found us off the internet. Wanted to know a few things about the church. So, folks, there's some things like that that we can do, that we can be involved in. I'm moving on. Nationally or globally, we need to be involved in supporting missionaries and those who have been called to the mission field. This is what takes place here in the book of Acts in chapter number 13. I believe in supporting missionaries. I do. And I'm going to ask you for just a moment or two of some liberty. I'm afraid, and I think that I'm right, but I'm afraid that one of the reasons why churches, and I'm not saying it's every person and it's not the totality of their being, but I do think that one of the reasons why churches want to support missionaries so badly is to ease their own conscience for what they're not doing, involving themselves personally in mission work.
Amen.
Now, just take it, deal with it, pray about it. I'm all for supporting missionaries, and I believe in it, and I'll make some friends and some enemies as we go along, but I'm all for supporting missionaries, but our motivation in supporting those on foreign fields should not be a clear conscience, but the glory of God. Now, I know it probably makes us feel better to know that I write a check, and when I write a check, it helps to go to this guy, and this guy's out here doing what I'm not. Wouldn't our conscience be a lot more clear if I'm writing a check to help support this guy, and I'm over here doing the work too? I'm over here, I can't go to wherever that is that he is, but I can evangelize in my community. I can be involved in my local area. And so I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to work against the support of missionaries in any way. I just think each of us as God's children need to recognize our individual responsibility to evangelize.
Amen.
And not say, well, you know, we support missionaries, so I don't have to do anything else. That's not true. It's just not true. Supporting them is well, and it's right, but it does not alleviate our God-given duty and delight to evangelize our own fields.
Amen.
Sometimes people get the idea that I'm anti-missionary, and I'm not. Now, I'm not anti-missionary, and I know that, and I hope to, and I'm serious about this. I want you as a church to pray about this with me. I'd like to get out on a foreign field with one of our missionaries or a missionary and go spend about 10 days. It'd probably do me a lot of good. It would probably help me personally. I think it would help me as a pastor.
Amen.
And I'd probably have a little more compassion for them than what I do.
Amen.
So I'm serious about it, and I want to do that. And you pray with me about it, that the Lord may open a door for us. But I will admit to you that I have to be careful not to be overly critical of missionaries. And not all of them, but there's some that I have to be careful. Now here's where I'm going to ask for a little bit of latitude. I try to preach systematically through the book, verse by verse, expositionally, and one of the reasons why I do that is it keeps me from getting up here on the soapbox and stomping my feet. And I think, and I'm sure I'm biased, but I think I do a pretty good job of not harping on the same thing or getting on the soapbox. I try to be pretty well balanced in my ministry. But I am going to say a few things, okay? And if you call it soapbox sermon if you want to. But it bothers me, the attitude that some men have as missionaries, that they have an entitlement attitude. That they think because they're going here that they ought to be elevated to some high position. They ought to be looked at as better than the local pastor or something. I don't have much tolerance for that. And I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not naming names. I'm not doing any of that. But I'll give you an example. We had a gentleman who contacted the church. This was in Tennessee. He said, "I'm such and such missionary. I'm headed out here. I'm out on deputation. I'm trying to raise money to get out on the field." I asked a few questions. I said, "How long have you been on deputation?" 3.5 years.
Amen.
Now, I've got a problem with that. Now, I'll just be honest with you. If you can't get it done in under 3.5 years, I don't know that God called you there. Now, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. And this will be put on the internet. But I think where God guides, God provides.
Amen.
And I realize a man has to take care of his family. And I know that it takes money to take care of your family. But some guy calls me and I've got a burden for these people. Oh, man, nobody's preaching to them. And I say, "Well, when are you going?" "Well, as soon as I get enough money." "Well, how much is it going to take
Amen.
For you to get going? How long have you been working?" "I've been 3.5 years. "Well, that's a long time burden. I can tell you that right now. Jonah didn't have that kind of... the Lord didn't put up with that with Jonah. How would you all feel if you called me down here to pastor and say, "I'll be down there 3 or 4 years from now, as soon as y'all can get up enough money to pay whatever..." You know, you understand what I know? A man needs support. I know that.
Amen.
And there's no definitive answer. You know, you have 6 months, there's no definitive answer in these things. But it does concern me. We had a guy contact us in Tennessee. I want to come preach for you. And, you know, I'm a missionary. I'm headed to such and such. I'd like to come speak for you. I said to him, I had a very standard response. "We are a small church. I have less than 15 members. The church pays me what they can. But we cannot take on a new missionary. We just can't do it."
Amen.
He said, "Well, I'd still like to come." And I said to him again, "Do you hear what I'm saying? We cannot pay you. Now, if you want to come, I'll give you a place to sleep. I'll feed you. I'll let you preach and I'll let you talk about the work. But I'm telling you ahead of time, we're not going to support you. We can't do it." He said, "I'm just going to come because I just need some prayer partners." I said, "Okay." I come. I let him talk about the work. He gets done. He starts seeing on, can you give me $100 a month?
Yeah.
Can you give me $100 a month? I said, fella, I done told you before you got here. And I'm not trying to pour mouth, but I couldn't live. Y'all pay me more in 1 week here than what I made in a month there.
Amen.
Significantly more in 1 week than what I made in a month there. And he wants me to take that little bit that I get and give to him. And I'm not trying to be callous, but no, sir.
Amen.
And so when I say I'm critical, that's the kind of thing that bothers me. Because but now there are others who get out there on the field and they live off of next to nothing. I know that. There are others who struggle to get by financially. I know that. There are some who get out there and they don't speak the language and they've forsaken home and family, and I know that, okay? So I have to try to caution myself that I don't get too far critical of them that I want to cut everybody off. You understand that? Because there's always, and it doesn't matter whether it's pastors or missionaries, there's always some people that take advantage and mistreat the work or the calling. I have a problem with missionaries who come through and they say, I've got a burden for this people. When I get over there, I'm going to get in that jungle. And they get over there and they never set foot in the jungle. That bothers me. Why did you come through and lie to us? Why didn't you just tell us the truth? That's the kind of thing that bothers me.
Amen.
Now, let me go ahead and make some more friends. And this is close to my heart. Because there are also needs that exist within local pastors. Let me take a very balanced, try to take a balanced approach to what I want to say. I admit some frustration that exists in my own heart when I see churches who are all for supporting foreign missionaries but don't want to help locally.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is I could take you now to a number of churches who give their pastor $500 or $600 a month and they send $1,000 a month overseas.
Amen.
And I don't care who you are, it's wrong.
Right.
And I know some of you don't want to hear it, but I'm going to say it anyway, it's wrong.
Amen.
You take care of Jerusalem first and then you go to Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world.
Amen.
I knew of a pastor who the church that he was pastoring, I knew them, the church that he was pastoring was sending over $1,000 a month to foreign missionaries. They had nearly six figures in the bank. They were doing okay financially by their pastor, but they could have done much more.
Amen.
And the bank came and repossessed the man's car, and the church never did the first thing to help him. Now, I don't know why they can't take a hard look at what's going on out there on the mission field and say, we need to make some changes.
Amen.
So you forgive me. And I used to be one of those guys. And I'm not one of those guys anymore. I used to live off a whole lot less than what we do now. I know it's not the same. I'm getting ready to step off my soapbox, okay? I know it's not the same. I'm prefacing what I'm about to say by repeating. I know it's not the same. It's not the same for a man to pack up and leave Ohio and move to Guatemala as it is for somebody to pack up and move from California to Kentucky. I know it's not the same. But don't get the idea that missionaries are the only ones that sacrifice for the ministry, because they're not. Now, there's many of them that sacrifice greatly, but they're not the only ones. Sometimes these guys who leave a very... I can tell you about preachers who left a very good job, making very good money, to go pastor a little small church of 15 people who paid him next to nothing. And he watched his family live on nothing. He couldn't buy his kids what everybody else did, but he did it for the ministry's sake. And I don't think these guys ought to be completely neglected by local churches.
Amen.
I just don't think everybody ought to run past them and send money overseas. I know it's not the same, but these guys need help too. Stepping back now off of my soapbox. That's just something that's dear to my heart because I've lived it. God's not called everybody to the mission field. Now, I'll give you a little Bible here. Somebody's got to stay by the stuff. You may not know, but when David, there's some of the guys that went out to war, and some of them was too tired to go, and he said, y'all stay by the stuff. Y'all make sure nobody comes and steals what's here, and the rest of us will go out and fight. And you know who got the greatest reward? The answer is they all got the same. The ones that stayed by the stuff got the same reward as the ones that went out there and fought the battle.
Amen.
And we need people to stay by the stuff. And then we need to be people to go out and fight the battles and go out and go. But we can be rewarded the same by our great and sovereign God in these things. We should seek to support, and we do this. I have a list here of missionaries. I brought it with me. A list of missionaries that we support. That's good. It's right. I think as a corporate body, it's good that we do that. But I want to encourage you that if you do not, and I know some of you do, but that if you do not individually give to mission works. And I know that some of you do this. We normally have a couple of these envelopes laid around, Bibles for India, that comes through Brother Bob Jones. There are different ways. Support. It's good to do this as a church body, but I want to encourage you in the giving of alms to individually give to just, you know, it don't have to be whatever, just sometime give. I'm not excluding what you do here, but I am saying that it is a blessing. Sister Peggy mentioned this last week. It is an honor to be able to give and help these men who are out on foreign fields. Let me just throw a few things in real quick. Pat and I, we sometimes give to different causes. There's a health, Human Health Alliance. I'm sorry, Human Life Alliance that is highly involved in doing good Christian work and helping stem the tide of abortion in the United States. Human Life Alliance, I think highly of them. We support them. Paralyzed Veterans, you know, Wounded Warrior, Cancer Society. And that's good, but don't neglect those that get out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
In your giving. Those are good things, and I'm not telling you not to do that, but I am saying don't neglect those whose primary calling is to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I share a story with you that if you'll just receive it this way? We had a missionary come through several years ago, and at this time, Pat and I were not in great financial shape. But he came through, and he was driving. He's actually driving his son's car when he came through, and it was a filthy mess. It was just, it was nasty. And so, and I might get scolded for this, but on Sunday afternoon, I went and got his car. And I took it down to the car wash and got it washed. And I filled it up with gas. And we weren't really in the place financially to do that. And you think, you up there bragging, preacher, just let me finish, okay? When I got to church that night, somebody had put an envelope on our pew.
Amen.
With a $100 bill in it. And I don't know to this day who it was. I'm just telling you, you're not going to outgive God.
Amen.
You're just not going to do it. They didn't even, whoever this was, had no idea that we did what we did because it was done in secret. Where it was, till I just said it to everybody here tonight. But you understand what I'm saying? That's how God works. So don't, you know, I'm not telling you to go give away everything you've got, but I am saying that you can do some little things that'll go a long way. If a lot of people do little things, it goes a long way. So give individually to those that preach the glorious gospel. There are different kinds of missionary callings. Some are called to a specific field. There are some who are involved. One of the things Wilbert Ellis, a pastor up in Kentucky, I don't remember where he is. He's printed a bunch of those tracts for us back there. Also, Bryan Station Baptist Church, who is in Kentucky, have printed a bunch of those. That's a mission work. That's a good thing for us to help and support. They're getting the gospel out through the avenue of tracts, through the printing of books. Some go and they teach at the Bible colleges, like out here where Brother Jason Schultz is. Most of those men that teach at that seminary out there do it for nothing. They don't get paid to do anything. They just do that as a desire to be a help to young preachers. Some teach on the radio. We have this fellow, Gospel Radio Latin America, I don't know anything about them. I trust y'all know these people. Some of them I know, some I don't. And then some are called to a specific field.
Amen.
And I'm glad to see somebody, and it is an encouragement to me to see somebody who's called to a specific field just as quick as is humanly possible. They're at that field, and they're there doing that work. And I'm going to give you a couple practical things real quick. And this is maybe a little bit outside of the box for you, but I want to try to direct your mind in a way that I think that we as a body, and I speak in a future tense, not so much in the past, but in the future tense, I think we need to make it clear that if we support or add support to a missionary, that we make it clear to him that we are supporting this man, this missionary. And now we can support other kinds of missionary works, but just follow me for just a minute, okay? What happens a lot of times is we'll say we're going to support you and we're going to support this work that you do, and a man will go out on a foreign field. And he'll be out on that field for 5 or 10 years at that mission field and never organize that mission into a church. The reason why he's afraid to do that is because he'll lose support if he organizes it. So I sort of like the idea of making it clear to an individual, saying to him, as long as we're able, we're going to support you and your work. Because this idea, and this is where I start butting heads with some people that I admire and love dearly, this idea of perpetual missions is foreign to the Word of God. This idea of somebody saying, I'm going to go out on a... And I said there are different kinds of callings, but somebody who's out on a specific field, they shouldn't be a mission work for 37 years. They just shouldn't be a mission, an endless, perpetual mission work.
Amen.
The biblical pattern, and you go through the book of Acts, is God leads somebody there. That person preaches, people are saved, the church is organized, and he move on. That's the biblical pattern. What has happened among our ranks and among our kinds of churches is men get out on a field somewhere and they set up, and essentially they have a church that they're pastoring, and maybe sometimes they'll go out somewhere else and preach, and sometimes they don't. And they're afraid to take that. They may have, there's been missionaries that I've known of that have 40 and 45, 50 people that attend their services, but they don't want to organize. They don't want to organize because they're afraid they're going to lose support. And you know, you want to know why I get critical of it? That's one of the reasons why. But I understand they have a need. But if churches made it clear to them, buddy, it doesn't matter whether you organize that or not, we're still going to support you. They'd be more likely to organize that work and get it into a church and then get going. So, you know, you say, preacher, you're splitting hairs. I'm trying to teach you on some things. I'm trying to teach you a little bit. This idea, and I had a preacher friend who almost got eaten alive because he said this in a public forum. He said, this idea of perpetual missions is just foreign to the Word of God, but it is. It is. And I'm not talking so much about Gospel Radio Latin America. I don't know the man. I don't know the work. If his calling is getting on that radio week by week by week, that is not what I'm talking. I'm talking about somebody that says, I'm going to go over here to Jamaica and I'm going to preach in the jungles of Jamaica. And then he gets over there and he settles down in a city somewhere and never sets foot in the jungles of Jamaica, and he never organizes where he is because he don't want to lose support. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, why can't these people that you were there, why can't they support you? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? So anyway, some of them can't. Now, I know that some of them can't. Some of these places that people go, they don't have the money to do it, and I understand that. We need to support men who are sound, men who preach the truth. We need to support men who teach the whole counsel of God, who preach and stand for God's Word no matter where they are, men who are busy, men who are faithful. Let me go ahead and make some more friends this evening. Those missionary reports out there, listen, when I was a church member and not a pastor, I don't know if you could have made me read the missionary report, but you ought to. You really ought to. I've robbed myself for many years by not taking a few minutes. I see your head. Take a few minutes and read one of those missionary reports. Y'all want to know about some good work that's going on? Can I brag on these fellows out in Romania that we support? Them boys are busy. Busy. I like to read a missionary report and I got to pack it in rather than space it out. So, anyway, there is a biblical pattern. There's something to be said for doing something the way that God, beginning it with prayer and fasting and Holy Spirit direction, following the biblical pattern, teaching, organizing, moving on. I think that should be the norm and not the exception. among missionaries today. The Apostle Paul, look at his life. Look how he did. Look how God directed him. This and many other things could be said about mission work. They are to be approved. They are to be sent by the church. They are the answer to the church. One of the things I love about the Apostle Paul, when he got through with his missionary journeys, he went back to the church that it sent him from, and he said, here's what God's done. That's what I liked about him. He gave a report of what God had done. And he was supported by the local church. So, anyway, may God add a blessing. And we have a desire. I know you have a desire, and I just want to say that desire grow and blossom even more and more as the Lord gives us time together. God give us wisdom to know what to do and how to use what he has given us. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer.